week after week,
God blesses us with opportunities like this on the first day of the week to gather together in a fine fashion like this to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful for the presence of each and every one of you. You're an encouragement to us, and especially to those who are visiting with us. We appreciate you being here, and we hope that you'll come be with us at every opportunity that you have. I know that there are many other things you could have been doing, other things you could have been interested in, but all of you have shown your and expressed your interest in important things. To be here on the Lord's Day to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We just read a moment ago from James, the first chapter. In James chapter 1, James begins in verse 21 by pointing out the necessity of laying aside the sin that may be in our lives, the superfluity of naughtiness, the King James Version says. It means an overflowing of wickedness, some versions render that. It says in verse 22, for us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And then again down in verse 25, he says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When in this verse the Bible points out to be doers and not forgetful hearers, he's pointing out to us that we need to remember the Word of God. Not just hear it one time and forget about it, but we need to continually remember those things. And so in the lesson this morning, I want us to think about things that we need to remember. Asking the question, do we remember these particular things in this what is a very commercialized part of our year? Many times we are reminded over and over, 'tis the season. Have you seen that lately? 'Tis the season. As I stated in the Bible class this morning, perhaps this time of the year, folks who normally would not think about spiritual matters at all, think about spiritual matters. It may be one other time of the year, maybe during April. But folks, we need to think about spiritual things all through the year. 365 days, right? 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We need to be mindful of God's Word. I think about the importance of our ability to remember. It's pointed out over and over in the Bible, the importance of that. Like if you come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. When Paul was writing to Timothy about doing the work of an evangelist, he stated this in 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 6, but if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that means remind them, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. In chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 14, he says, of these things put them in remembrance. And if you come with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And in verse 13, yeah, I think it meet or suitable, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, he talks about. And then in chapter 3, and in verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of, what's that next word? By way of remembrance. And so over and over again, we can see the importance of remembering, calling to mind things that perhaps we have forgotten, that we used to know, but along life's way, we got busy and involved in a host of other things. I know we live in a very busy time of our lives and very busy society, and perhaps along the way have forgotten some things. And so this Sunday morning, I want to remind you of some things that the Bible talks about, some things that the Bible admonishes us to remember. And the first one I want to point out to you is found in Luke 17. Luke 17, as you're turning there, remember our appeal is always to the Scriptures. It's not to what I think about it or what someone else may think about it, but to what the Bible teaches. And so be a good student of the Bible and get your eyes on the text and you read it as I read it and pay attention to these things. Luke 17, and notice what the Bible says in verse 32. Three words as we think about things to remember. Remember Lot's wife. You remember that, what that's talking about? Remember the story, the occasion, the event? Which would be a better word than story. We use the word story. People think about figments of imagination. That's not what the Bible is. But real events. If you come back to the book of Genesis, chapter 19. Remember that the city of Sodom was so evil and steeped in their wickedness and their sin that God is going to destroy that city. And there was other cities that were destroyed. Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities of the plain, the Bible points out. In Genesis 19:17, after it was told to Lot that the city was going to be destroyed and God was going to allow Lot and his family to escape, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, "Escape thou, or escape for thy life. Look not behind thee." Pretty simple, right? You go, you escape for your life. Don't look behind you. Now, had we been there, had that been stated to us, how many of us would have looked back? Curiosity would have gotten the better of us. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mount, lest thou be consumed. Now come down to verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered unto Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26 says, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. You see, it was pretty simple to say and to follow, don't look back. Nothing difficult to be understood about that. But the Bible says that she didn't obey that. She looked back. And as a result of that, she lost her life. Now when you come over to Luke 17, the Lord is teaching in that passage. And He gives him those three very simple words, remember Lot's wife. I want to suggest to you and to remind you this morning that when God speaks, we better listen. Have we learned that lesson? And I'm not talking about God coming to me by some small voice or in the middle of the night. We know that God doesn't talk to people that way today. In Hebrews 1:1, that God who at sundry time in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. God speaks to us today by His revealed Word. And when we read it, we need to listen to it and obey it. Exactly the way that God has expected and required of us to do. Someone says, well, I don't believe that God is quite that strict. Really? You believe God means what He says? I wish individuals who didn't think that God was strict in what He said could go back to the beginning and ask Adam and Eve if God meant what He said when He said, don't touch it, don't eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did God mean that? In Genesis chapter 3, they found out. Because they violated what God had stated. God meant what He said. When you go to places like Leviticus chapter 10, I wish individuals who didn't believe that God meant what He said could go back and talk to Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron. When the Bible says that they had taken strange fire and offered it to the Lord. You know what happened to them? Boys of Aaron, sons of Aaron, priests, fire came down and devoured both of them. Did God mean what He said when He had given instruction upon how to offer the sacrifice and where to get the fire from and so forth? By the way, when the Bible says they offered strange fire, that means they offered unauthorized fire. Wasn't authorized by God. Or you come to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I wish individuals could talk to a man by the name of Uzzah. Remember Uzzah? God had told the children of Israel how to transport the ark. And it came time that they were going to move the ark and they put it on a cart pulled by an ox. The ox stumbled and the ark swayed. And what did Uzzah do? Reached forth and steadied the ark. God said, don't touch it. Well, He just probably perhaps meant to try to save something that was important to them. Why would God take his life? Because God said, don't touch it. God means what He says. Have we learned the lesson? Remember Lot's wife. I call that to our remembrance today. In Acts chapter 20, we get another one. Point number two. Come with me to Acts 20 as we think about things to remember. All sorts of things are being remembered this time of the year. Rather than conjure up some things of which people ought to remember, we're looking at things of which the Bible calls our remembrance to. Acts chapter 20. Remember, the context of this is that Paul is talking to the elders of the Church of Christ at Ephesus while he was at Miletus. And he has this to say to them in verse 35. He says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. Now watch this. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Folks are in the giving spirit this time of the year, right? Probably more folks are in the receiving spirit this time of the year. We need to remember what this passage says, but I want you to notice for our second point. Remember the words of the Lord. Remember that passage that was just read a moment ago from James chapter 1? Be not forgetful hearers, but a doer of the work. We need to remember what the Lord has stated as contained in the Bible in John 6:63. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken, they are spirit and they are life. In John 15:3, the Lord said, you are clean through the words that I've spoken unto you. And concerning His Word, Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day. And folks, if we forget anything, we better not forget the words of the Lord. And not forget these other things. And so we need to remember Lot's wife. We need to remember the words of the Lord. By the way, when you read what's contained in this sacred volume of God, you're not reading the words of men, but you're reading the words of God. We live this side of the cross under the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, the law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6, and in verse 2. Paul admonished and commended those of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you want to turn to that passage. Concerning what they had received, in verse 13, he said, for this cause also think we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you have heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually or effectively worketh also in you that believe. Are you interested in hearing the word of the Lord? Your presence here this morning at least suggests to some degree you're interested in that. And again, you're to be commended for that. But not only are we to remember the Lord's words, I bring you over to Jude verse 17. Jude's a one chapter book just before the book of Revelation. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 17. As we think about things to remember, are you remembering these things? Am I remembering these things? But beloved, what's this? Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord, Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. We need to remember the words of the apostles. Jesus was only on the earth for some 3 years or so in His public ministry. He was about 33 when He died, but so far as His preaching goes, about 3 years. He was baptized at the age of 3. The Bible points out 3 Passovers that He observed, and Passover was a yearly feast of the Old Testament Jews, so that's 3 years. You think about what He accomplished in those 3 years. Think of that. They couldn't remember everything that the Lord had taught them. We can't remember everything. Hence, we're having a lesson on things to remember. Put the brethren in remembrance of these things, right? That's what Paul told Timothy. Well, the Lord took care of that, didn't He? He knew that they was not going to be able to remember all the things that He had stated to them. And so in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, the Lord made a promise to them. He said, I will send you the promise of my Father. I'll send you a Comforter. Remember that? Which is the Holy Spirit. In John 14, 26, John 15, 26, and John 16, 13, the Lord pointed out when they received the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit would remind them of all the things that He had said to them, and not only remind them of those things, but guide them into all truth. And so the Lord knew that they were not going to be able to remember all things, and so He took care of that. That was the two-fold mission, by the way, of the Holy Spirit concerning the revelatory work of the Word, to remind and to guide. So Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, if any of you think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. I pointed out to you, I believe, one time before, a conversation I had with a man who denied that you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. And I pointed out what the Scripture said in 1 Peter 3 and in verse 21. And his reaction to that was, his response was, I'll take what the Lord said and not what Peter said. That won't work. That won't work. 1 Corinthians 14, 37 won't allow that to work. What Peter said and Paul said, they said it as they were moved or guided by the Holy Spirit, as it was guiding them into all truth and bringing to their remembrance all that the Lord had stated. So we need to remember the Word in John 17. When the Lord is praying, if you want to know the Lord's prayer, it's John 17. Right? This is a whole chapter that contains a prayer of the Lord before He's crucified, arrested, and later crucified. But He prayed for the apostles in John 17 that they would all be one. But then He didn't pray only for them in verse 20 and verse 21. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You think the word of the apostles was important? Absolutely. We believe on the Lord through the word of the apostles. It was revealed to them. They wrote it down. So when we read it, then we can understand it, know it, and obey it. John 20, 30, and 31, and Ephesians 3, 3 through 5 talks about that. Come with me to the book of Galatians as we think about things to remember. Galatians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 9 beginning. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision, that is, go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. Only they would that we should, watch this, remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. How many of us remember the poor? I've said before that by the standards of a lot of other nations, we are by far the richest nation in the world. It's been stated that even the low-income portion of our society equals that of the higher-income level of other nations. A few years back, a man had sent us an email, and I shared that with several of you. I suppose he could have asked for a number of things from a third world country and sent an email to make a request. And he asked for 50 pounds of rice that he might be able to feed his family for a while. Now, I don't know how many other people he sent that request to. Several of you were gracious to pitch in and to send that to him. And he sent his gratitude for that. Now you think about that. In this commercialized portion of our year, when many people are going to go home and they're going to sit around a decorated tree and they're going to open a lot of things that really, truthfully, we don't need. Really, truthfully, you're probably going to go back and you're going to find that the return line at your local Walmart is going to be way out into the aisles because people taking things back of which they did not need. Remember the poor. In Mark 14:7, Jesus said, "For you always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me with you." In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 10, speaking to the individuals, as we have opportunity, by the way, Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says the context for that. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That is, as I have opportunity, as Chris has opportunity, all the way around the room, we're to do that. As we have opportunity. By the way, it was never God's design for the church to eradicate worldwide poverty. Are you aware of that? Was it? As individuals, we're to remember the poor. In Ephesians 4 and then verse 28, someone says, "Well, how can I do that? How can I get in a position to be able to do what God would have me to do?" Well, here's one thing that we might consider. Let him that stole steal no more. Hopefully we're not doing that, but notice this, the contrast. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Remember the poor. I want to point out to you Jude 5, as we think about things to remember. The book of Jude, he's calling to their remembrance Israel's history. He says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed." I put down number 5 that we need to remember unbelieving and disobedient Israel. God had led them out of the land of Egypt with a mighty stretched out hand, and they saw the salvation of the Lord. Remember, as they were by the Red Sea, and here was the Egyptian army coming behind them. What are we going to do now? How are we going to cross this? And Moses said, "Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord." And the Lord parted the Red Sea and allowed the children of Israel to cross over on dry land, the book of Exodus talks about. But yet, it wasn't long till they began to murmur and complain and disobey God, and as a result of that, that generation fell and was not permitted to go into the land of promise except for two people, Caleb and Joshua, the two faithful spies or messengers. Remember Israel. Those things are written for our learning, by the way. Romans 15, verse 4, written for our example, 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse 11. So we need to remember that. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9 talks about when the Lord comes back, that He'll take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you obeyed? Remember what happened to Israel? They were not permitted to go into the promised land. The Hebrew writer stated, "There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God," Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 9. That rest he's talking about in Hebrews is that eternal rest, heaven. And if we're disobedient and unfaithful as Israel was in the Old Testament, heaven will not be our eternal home, and so we need to remember that. Come with me to Luke 22. Luke 22. And hold your place there. Before we do, let's go to Revelation 3:3 for another point. We have time to do so. Revelation 3:3 is John is pinning these things down to the seven churches of Christ at Asia, to the church at Sardis. He penned, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." We talked about that last week, the need of repentance. I want you to see this point that we need to remember the word that we had received that was just read again from James chapter 1. Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Is that your attitude toward the truth? The things that I'm saying this morning, are you going to remember them or forget them? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Hold it fast. Now come with me to Luke 22. Something else we need to remember. Luke 22. Notice, if you will, in verse 19 of Luke 22. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Now watch this. This do in what? Remembrance of me. We just partook of the Lord's Supper a moment ago. The Lord's church has been doing that since the Lord instituted it in the first century and will continue to do that till the Lord returns. As you did that, what were you mindful of? What were you reminded? This do in remembrance of me. Did we recall the Lord's death that He died, that is recorded for us in Matthew 27 and Mark 15, Luke 23 and John 19. Talks about the crucifixion of the Lord. How that Jesus tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. You're not exempt for that, by the way. I'm not exempt. No one is. Tasted death for every man. That God loved us, in that while we were committed His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Died for us, Romans 5. And then verse 8. Do you remember that? In 2 Corinthians 5, and then verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if, watch this, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15, and that He died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. 1 Corinthians 11, 24, as we partook of the Lord's Supper this morning. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. How long? How long are we going to do that? Till the Lord comes. That's right. There's religious bodies today that have gathered together to do a whole host of things of which they didn't even remember the Lord's death. Think of that. Perhaps remembering other things. Celebrating other things of which God has not called upon His people to celebrate collectively. But He did tell us to remember His death. And we've done that. Last point. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. As we think about things to remember. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then verse 8. First word sums up our point. Our lesson, our last point. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David. What am I to remember? Was raised from the dead. According to my gospel. You want a good Bible definition of the word gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The word gospel, by the way, means good news. When we proclaim the gospel of Christ, that doesn't mean we say He died, He was buried, and rose again, and not say anything else. But that sums up the gospel. By His resurrection. Notice this. By His resurrection. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says, I want us to end this sermon by going to these passages and looking at this. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4. Look at verse 3 begin. Concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. How did He do that? According to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. By the resurrection, He declared to be with power the Son of God. But not only that, when you come over to 1 Peter chapter 1, you think about by the resurrection. And Paul telling Peter they need to remember the fact that He rose from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten. Remember when the Lord in John 3:3 told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God? This word begotten has the idea behind it being born. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. How did He do that? What's these three words? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then in Acts 17:30 and 31. You're familiar with this passage. Paul says, in the times of this ignorance God once winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Watch this. Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men. How did He give assurance unto all men that He's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man? Watch. Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. By the resurrection we have assurance that there's going to be a judgment day of which will be judged in righteousness by Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that day? Do you remember these things? They're in the Bible for you and for me. Are we going to remember them or forget them? You may be here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You're not a Christian. You've put it off and put it off, and you've decided today's the day that I'm going to obey. I'd be derelict of my duty as a preacher to not tell you how to become a Christian. Though we look at all these things of what to remember. You become a Christian by doing what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. By hearing the gospel. You can't obey what you don't know. You have to hear it. You've heard it. So the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. And being baptized, immersed, plunged beneath the surface of the water, where the blood of Christ will wash away your sins. Acts 22:16, Revelation 1:5. To rise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church of Christ by the Lord. Acts 2:47. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. You turned your back on the Lord, went back out into the world of sin, and you want to be restored. You have opportunity to confess those things. We'll pray with you and for you. Why not come right now?